Advertising, it's the engine that drives sales. Some ads are clever, some are funny, others are emotional. And then there are the ones that are designed to trick you into making a purchase. Americans lose billions of dollars each year because of deceptive marketing and false advertising. Sometimes it's blatant lies. Sometimes it's clever wording or fine print that's meant to confuse or mislead. I'm sure it's happened to you. I'm Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man, a contributing editor at checkbook.org.
Welcome to Consumerpedia at checkbook.org. We're the nonprofit that helps consumers select services, avoid trouble, and save money. Because we don't accept any advertising or take money from any business we recommend, you can rely on checkbook.org to be completely independent and objective. Now, here's the host of Consumerpedia, America's consumer expert, the Consumer Man, Herb Weisbaum.
In this episode of Consumerpedia, we'll explore some of the tricks advertisers use to fool us. We'll look at a few of the big-name celebrities who've made the advertising hall of shame, and we'll give you ways to spot misleading ads. Our guest is Bonnie Patton, the executive director of the nonprofit group Truth in Advertising. Tina.org points the finger at bad actors and calls them out for their deception. It works to empower you to protect yourself against false advertising and deceptive marketing. Bonnie joins us from the Constitution State, that's Connecticut, by the way, where Tina.org is headquartered. Bonnie, it is so nice to have you with us.
Oh, it's very much my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So how would you describe where we are right now when it comes to the lack of truth in advertising?
Wow. I think we're at a low point. I think that truth in advertising is not something that we're seeing on a daily basis and that millions of consumers are losing billions of dollars as a result of it.
When I look at ads, I see little tiny disclaimers flashed on the bottom of car ads that are up for 2 seconds that no human being could possibly read. I see all kinds of asterisks and stuff. And on radio, they speed up the announcer man with a disclaimer. They're digital. You can't understand what he's saying. I mean, that's the world it sounds like we're living in.
I think you're absolutely right. And as a result, consumers are buying products or being misled about products without knowing all the facts. And it's an issue.
And we're not just talking bad companies. We're talking major companies now that are doing these kind of tricks, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, on our website, Tina.org, you'll find many major companies that have been engaged in deceptive marketing practices over the years. It's astonishing how many you'll find there.
So you have a wall of shame on your website with some big name celebrities such as Tom Brady, Kim Kardashian, Dr. Oz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Jimmy Walker, just to name a few. Why are they on this wall of shame? What got them there?
Well, the idea behind the wall of shame is our knowledge that consumers are attracted to listening to celebrities and actually believe that although these actors may not be specialists in the fields in which they're promoting goods and services, that we're more likely to buy things if it's a famous person. So we started the wall of shame to alert consumers that maybe you shouldn't take your advice from celebrities.
Let's run down just a couple. We'll start with Kate McKinnon, one of my favorites from Saturday Night Live.
This holiday, Verizon has the deal that gets better and better and better.
Get iPhone 13 Pro on us when you trade in your old or damaged phone.
Here, the phone everyone wants on America's most reliable network. Better?
Better.
So this was a consumer who nominated her for the wall of shame for the Verizon ads, which basically say, oh, you broke your phone, no matter what, we're going to let you replace it. And, you know, as you were talking about, that fine print has exclusions. So if the battery is damaged in the phone, Verizon won't replace it.
And Jillian Michaels, the exercise guru, she made it as well.
Over 50 million in prizes paid, more than 4 million pounds lost.
I'm global health and fitness expert Jillian Michaels, and I love Healthy Wager. It's a great way to lose weight by motivating you with big cash prizes. Play with a free prize calculator and see how much money you can win by hitting your weight loss goals. Get paid in real cash up to $10,000.
This is one that I find very upsetting. She is promoting a company called Healthy Wager, where consumers can bet on their own weight loss. And she is touting this betting program as allowing people to win $10,000, you know, hundreds of dollars. When, again, the fine print and the reality is that the vast majority of people lose money on their wagers. And it's very difficult to win any money, regardless of how much weight you may lose.
Yeah, let me quote the fine print. Quote, the number of people who lose their healthy wager is greater than the number who win. They're basically telling you from the start that the house is going to win on this one.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, it seems to me very exploitive of people that, you know, may desperately want to lose weight to become more healthy. And she's really taking advantage of that susceptible population.
And keeping that theme going of exploiting people, Tom Selleck, the best mustache in the business, but I get nervous every single time I hear him pitch reverse mortgages.
Look, this isn't my first rodeo. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't be here if I thought reverse mortgages took advantage of any American senior. Or worse, that it was some way to take your home. I think I've been around long enough to know what's what. I'm proud to be a part of AAG. I trust them. I think you can too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So he is a spokesperson for American Advisors Group, which is the nation's largest reverse mortgage lender. And he appears in national TV ads for the company. And he's just not telling consumers in these ads all the risks and downsides of reverse mortgages. So again, exploiting generally an elderly susceptible population that might be in need of fast money.
And as you point out on the wall of shame, the Magnum PI star doesn't tell everybody that in October of 2021, AAG agreed to pay $1.1 million to settle claims it provided consumers with inflated estimates of home values to entice them to enter into negotiations to get these reverse mortgages.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think with a lot of these celebrities, they're not even doing their due diligence or looking into these companies. They just want their paychecks and they're happy to say whatever's put on the screen and not worry about the consumers who might believe them.
And then there's the number one on my hall of shame, and I think he should be at the top of yours forever, is Dr. Oz, who probably has pitched more bogus and quack stuff to the nation with his TV show than probably five human beings put together.
You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure for every body type. This miracle pill can burn fat fast.
And in addition to all these miracle products that he has touted over the years that have been proven to be bogus, you know, from weight loss supplements to, you know, healthcare products, he also, in Tina.org's book, is an issue because he was promoting a pyramid scheme early on called Vima that the FTC eventually went after, and also has been linked to other MLMs that have engaged in false and deceptive marketing, such as USANA.
Let's be clear, there's nothing wrong with a celebrity advertising a product as long as what they say is truthful and you can believe what they're telling you, right?
That's absolutely right. And there are other possible requirements. For example, if they say they're users of the product and touting benefits that they've experienced, then that actually has to be the case. You know, you can't do the Britney Spears promoting Pepsi but drinking Coke kind of thing.
Right. There are a lot of problems with a few sorts of claims. I'd like to talk about that now. The recyclable and the made in America. So let's start out with the recyclable claims.
Right. So when we're talking about recyclable claims, the big issue is plastics and an issue called greenwashing, which basically is marketing that sounds better for the environment than it actually is. And this is where a lot of times the promotion of recycling plastic gets into trouble. Basically, the plastics industry has convinced us all that most of our plastics, those water bottles, are recyclable. And when that's just not the reality. Most plastics don't get recycled, they end up in landfills. I think the EPA had an estimation in 2018 that there was 27 million tons of plastics in landfills, which was about 9 times more than was recycled that year. So that's a big issue for us.
So a lot of times they'll put a recycle symbol on the back or it'll say recyclable when technically it is, but nobody's recycling like plastic number 5 or whatever.
Exactly. That, you know, when they make these claims, it can't be theoretically you could recycle it. It has to be what's happening in reality, what's happening in your area of the country. I mean, are those plastics being recycled or not? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the answer is nope. They're headed to the landfill. They're not being recycled.
Another big one is the Made in America claims, or Made in USA. Been very popular the last couple of years. It was under Trump, and it's now because of the problems with Russia and the supply chain. We want to have things made here. What's going on with that? How are companies abusing that Made in USA label?
Yeah, Made in USA marketing has always been attractive for companies because studies have shown that consumers gravitate to products made in the USA because they think they're of better quality, and they're actually willing to pay more for those products. But what we've found over the years is that major corporations such as Walmart, Gillette, Williams-Sonoma are touting these Made in the USA claims when their products don't meet the FTC standard, which is all or virtually all made here in this country. And as a result of that, consumers are paying more for what they think is higher quality products when they aren't 100% or almost all made here in the U.S.
I know the Federal Trade Commission has cracked down on this recently, and I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Tina.org filed a petition for rulemaking with the FTC a couple years back, and now the FTC has a new law that allows it to penalize first-time offenders if they make labels that say made in the USA when that's actually not the case.
Well, a relatively new type of advertising that's often abused is trading on the popularity of social influencers, and we're going to talk about that next. This is Consumerpedia, powered by Checkbook.org.
Checkbook.org can save you money on all sorts of services you need and help you find high-quality businesses in your area. From tax preparers and auto mechanics to electricians and plumbers, we have ratings in these seven metro areas: Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and Washington, D.C. To find out more, visit checkbook.org. Our advice is always free. Ratings of local services are available with a subscription. If you live in one of these seven areas and haven't joined Checkbook yet, check us out. Get a free 30-day subscription by going to checkbook.org/consumerpedia.
We're talking to Bonnie Patton. She's Executive Director of Truth in Advertising, Tina.org. And let's deal now with a relatively new type of advertising done by social media influencers. That's someone who has established credibility online for some reason or another. It could be a musician, an actor, a sports figure. And they have access to a huge audience and can persuade others to act based on their recommendations. Bonnie, I know this is a big concern for you. Tell us what the problems are with this.
Oh, well, there's a multitude of problems, I think, with social media influencer marketing. But the top of the list, undoubtedly, is that these influencers are not disclosing when they're pitching ads to their followers. And a lot of times, if they don't tell us that it's an advertisement, we have no way of knowing it. So that our defenses are down and we're not looking at it as marketing material, but rather organic content.
Are they required to tell you that this is not just me loving a product, but that I'm being paid to do this?
Absolutely. The FTC has made clear that if there's a material connection between the influencer and the product or service that they're marketing, that the influencer and the company, for that matter, must ensure that consumers know what they're looking at is an advertisement.
And obviously, that's clearly not happening from what you see.
Social media marketing is really the Wild West right now. The FTC just has not had the resources to grapple with all the social media platforms that are out there. And as a result, we have a lot of influencers basically doing anything they want on these platforms.
And I'm not as familiar with this as you are, but from what I hear, these influencers are getting paid a huge amount of money in some cases to promote these products, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are many multimillionaires as a result of YouTube channels and Instagram feeds that are full-time jobs for these people.
Speaking of deceptive advertising, there is a lot of deceptive advertising when it comes to how much money you can make if you get involved with an MLM, a multi-level marketing operation. The Federal Trade Commission is looking into this, and Tina's actually commented on this. What's your position about what these ads are doing right now?
Well, the Federal Trade Commission has asked for comments on a rule that it's thinking of proposing that would outlaw deceptive marketing claims as a general matter. And we have filed a comment where we basically used our data with regard to the MLM industry and deceptive income claims to say that they absolutely should begin a rulemaking to make deceptive advertising of earnings claims illegal, such that if someone were to violate that rule, they could be charged up to almost $47,000 per violation.
So tell us, what are you seeing going on with advertisements for multi-level marketing opportunities?
Tina.org has collected thousands of examples over the years of MLM industries making deceptive and atypical earnings claims. And, you know, especially when we hit the pandemic and many people were losing their jobs and there was a lot of financial insecurity, these kind of marketing pitches, you know, claiming that you can work part-time and make a full-time income or achieve financial freedom when these claims just aren't true, is very enticing to those that need to earn a living. And so they're really taking advantage of an incredibly susceptible population.
So with a weight loss ad, they say you can lose 10 pounds per week, and then they have to say somewhere, this is not what the typical person loses. I'm assuming with these MLM ads, they're not saying that this $1,000 a week working from home and part-time is not what the typical person makes?
That's right. As a general matter, if you make an atypical claim in marketing, then you do have to tell the consumers, hey, this is what typically happens. And that rule applies to earnings claims as a general matter. With MLMs, what Tina.org sees is generally, they don't make any sort of disclosure at all. And if they do make a disclosure, it's either not clear and conspicuous, or you have to click away to see it somewhere else. So it's not effective.
And of course, the bigger issue here is with many of these offers, you're dealing with a con artist, a fraudster to begin with. So the erroneous claim of how much you're going to make is the least of your problems. You may not get anything for your money. People need to be aware of that.
That's absolutely true that, you know, there is a fraudster out there for all of us. And we all have to be on guard when it comes to being on the internet and looking at these claims, because they know how to take the money from all of us. So it's really important that, you know, when it sounds too good to be true, you got to know that and stay away.
I've changed that slogan to, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Forget the probably, it is. that's the world we live in right now.
Unfortunately, I think you're absolutely right.
So how do we become smarter consumers of advertising? Straight ahead, Bonnie's going to share some suggestions. This is Consumerpedia, powered by Checkbook.org.
Consumerpedia, fast facts. Here are some advertising firsts. The first newspaper ad was in 1650. It offered a reward for 12 stolen horses. The first radio commercial aired on a New York City station in 1922. It was for an apartment building in Jackson Heights. The first paid television ad was for Bulova watches in 1941. It was broadcast by a New York TV station before a baseball game between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies.
We live in a world that's filled with advertising, both online and off. No one knows exactly how many ads the average American is exposed to every day, but best guess, about 4,000 or more every day. Bonnie, we clearly live in a world of advertising. Companies are going to try to sell their product. They always want to put a good face forward. So how do we cut through the general hype to the misleading? What are we looking for here?
Marketing can be quite positive, right? We learn about new products. We learn how products work. There are benefits to marketing. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. Companies like to hype their products or not tell you all the ins and out risks, benefits. So it's incumbent upon consumers to do their due diligence, to do the research, to not make rash decisions. Get online, you know, look at reviews, look at what other consumers are saying, sleep on it, think about it, do the price check to see if you can get it cheaper elsewhere. Nowadays, it's not just enough to look at the fine print even. You really need to go outside that marketing material and see what else you can find about the product or service.
But I got to tell you, if I see all that fine print at the bottom of an ad, or if I see the asterisk at the top or something like that, that's a red flag to me. Like, you better slow down and figure out what's really going on here, because that big, bold claim that caught my eye is being modified somehow.
Oh, that's absolutely true. But, you know, one thing we always say is you got to read the fine print. And if you're too tired to do it, then get up and do it the next morning, because the devil is always in the details. And that's where you're going to find all the details.
So many people are doing their shopping now online on mobile devices, their smartphones. Is that making the problem even worse? Because who wants to read a privacy policy or the terms and conditions on a little screen like that? Is that really making the problem worse?
Well, I think that's definitely definitely an issue. I mean, I might be aging myself, but, you know, it's hard for me to read on a small device. I think my kids are much more apt to sit there and be able to figure out the ins and outs. You need to read the fine print. So if you can't do it on your phone, then you've got to move to a different device. Unfortunately, with a lot of these companies too, you can't even print out the terms and conditions. They make it impossible to do that. So in those situations, you might be better moving on and trying to find a more honest company or someone more willing to give you all the material terms before you make a decision.
As you noted earlier in the show, a lot of this is from legitimate, well-known brand name companies that are doing these advertising tricks. Do you think it's time that maybe they stepped up to the plate and just sold their product on its benefits and stopped playing with their customers?
Wouldn't that be nice? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that one of the issues is that when we have companies deceptively making claims, that then other companies think they need to do the same thing. And as a result, you know, they go down to the lowest common denominator. So that's why I do think it is important for the FTC to step it up here. You know, there's also self-regulatory committees and councils that could help us in these areas, but it's definitely an issue.
I remember when I was in college, Syracuse University, I also took a number of advertising courses along with my journalism courses. And there was the famous case where Campbell's Soup put marbles in the bottom of the bowl to get all the vegetables up to the top to make it look like there was more stuff in the soup. And they got busted for that. That's like small potatoes compared to where we are today.
Food advertising is really a big issue with consumers. I can't even tell you how many complaints about, you know, commercials for fast food. And then when you get it through the drive-through, it doesn't look anything like that. Unfortunately, for most of us, many courts have said that we are wise to this practice and that reasonable consumers don't even expect to get that perfect food you see in commercials. And as a result, they do not consider that to be a harm to consumers.
And there have been a lot of lawsuits about similar things, including, like, you know, it says raspberry and then little teeny tiny flavored, or there's no raspberry in there. It's all apple juice or grape juice. And a lot of the courts are saying, yeah, so what's the big deal? What's the harm? That's, you can't police the marketplace if the courts aren't willing to bust people who break the rules.
Yes, many of these ingredient claims that are being brought, you know, we heard about no strawberries and strawberry Pop-Tarts and things of that nature are from one individual attorney who's his own bandwagon here on ingredients claims. And the courts are really mixed on whether these claims are viable or not. You know, if you say that it's a fudge product and there's no fudge in that, you know, do consumers know that or not? I think that in many cases, courts' standard for the reasonable consumer is not realistic. You know, these are judges that have advanced degrees, law degrees, and that they don't know what the general population believes or doesn't. And as a result, I think the reasonable consumer standard in these cases is sometimes more elevated than it should be.
I'd like to get your opinion on the fast food aspect that you just talked about. As someone who tries to police the marketplace, do you think there's a problem when you see the beautiful hamburger in the ad and then you get the squish thing from the drive-thru? I mean, I've seen the before and after pictures, so to speak. Do you think the average person gets that? Do we all know from experience that's what it is? Or do you think there's something wrong with that?
Well, I think there are definitely issues there. I think what upsets me more maybe is not the look of it, but when they manipulate sizing. So, you know, you think you're going to get a giant bucket of fried chicken. And then when you see it in the ad, and then when you get home, you've got a giant bucket with a few pieces of chicken at the bottom, you know, and when people are worrying about feeding families, that kind of thing can be a real issue.
Before we let you go, I want you to explain to people how they can be involved with TINA.org, especially if they see a problem, to point it out to you.
Thank you so much. Yes. So a lot of what we do is based on consumer tips. So if you see some deceptive advertising or you've been a victim of fraud or deception, we really do want to hear from you. You can go to TINA.org and file a complaint or just give us a tip. And we try and look into as many of them as we can.
Bonnie, it has been such a pleasure talking to you today. You guys are doing great work at Tina.org, and keep it up because you're looking out for all of us.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the time and talking about the organization. It means a lot to us.
Well, we've come to the end of episode 20. Thank you for listening. We're going to take a little break for the summer, and we'll be back with you again in early September. You can stay up to date on important consumer information all year long by following us on Facebook at Consumers Checkbook or Twitter at CheckbookORG, or visit my website, consumerman.com. I'm Herb Weisbaum. Have a great summer.
Consumerpedia is a public service of Checkbook.org. We're a unique nonprofit that empowers you, the consumer, to save money and make smarter choices. From auto repair shops to doctors, plumbers to vets, you can count on Checkbook.org to help you find the best services and avoid the worst. Local ratings are unbiased and accurate. If you live in or around these seven cities and haven't joined Checkbook yet, check us out. Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Washington, D.C. To get your free 30-day subscription, go to checkbook.org/consumerpedia. Consumerpedia, empowering consumers to save money and make smarter choices.